Welcome back to Balling in the Six. This is your Toronto Raptors podcast straight out of London. We've had a crazy day and night of free agency. There's been trades flying in. There's got to be trades flying in throughout this episode. In fact, we'll get them straight from our sources. We're also going to discuss who's the winners, who's the losers, but mainly who goes most under the radar in the trades. We're going to skip past the Nets. Everyone's discussed the Nets. Stephen A's reacted to the Nets, and we're going to have his reaction, not exclusively for us, but we're going to have his reaction. So let's get right into it.
Needed a few minutes to gather my composure. Somehow, some way, I'm just trying to just hold it together, you know? Lifelong Knick fan. Years of mediocrity. I thought this was gonna be it, at least weeks ago. And then you know when I was doing first take, and we were in Oakland and I got word about Kyrie in Brooklyn. Realizing that that meant KD in Brooklyn. Realizing that the New York Knicks were gonna go without anything. $70 million in cap space. Porzingis gone. Porzingis can't be gone. And we don't get KD. And we don't get Durant. And Kyrie rather. No way. This can't happen. This can't happen. But it happened. The New York. KD on the market, Kyrie on the market, Clay, Kemba, Jimmy Butler. They can't get somebody to come to Madison Square Garden. But because Brooklyn's got Sean Marks, and because Brooklyn's got Kenny Atkinson, and because Brooklyn has Live Nation, and they're Brooklyn. In 3 years, the Brooklyn Nets have accomplished what we've been waiting for the New York Knicks to pull off for a half century. And more specifically, in 20 years, in the last 20 years, this is what they pulled off. This is what they pulled off. I know the Knicks are gonna go out and get somebody, maybe like a Julius Randle. But how am I supposed to feel? I'ma try to get it together by first take tomorrow. But I can't promise y'all what I'm gonna do. I can't promise what I'm gonna say. See y'all in the morning. Peace.
Some huge trades so far in free agency. It's just been a day, but there's been 48 trades worth $3.2 billion in contracts. And apparently, we've got one more. We're going to bring in Blazers correspondent Samuel Jeffries. Samuel, take it away, live on air.
According to Woj, the Portland Trail Blazers have traded Mo Harkless and Myers Leonard for Hassan Whiteside with the Miami Heat.
That is a trade that has just broken. We've got our sources on the ground there. Thank you, Samuel. Back off to Portland now. And to help us dissect the winners and losers of the subtle trade market, we've got the Turk himself. Welcome back.
What is that Hassan Whiteside trade?
Well, it's a salary dump, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
But who wins that? Who wins that trade?
I mean, this just shows how dissatisfied Miami have been with Hassan Whiteside. He's been an absolute liability for them all season. But I know there was like a lot of friction with the organization, but you've traded for Jimmy Butler. Where's this the vision for this team? Miles Leonard is
what
not
are
going
you doing?
To...
Are you becoming a mid-table team? Are you becoming a team that kind of hangs around the sixth, fifth or sixth seed to satisfy the fans? Suddenly you're not, because you've traded away, although he's been a liability, you've traded away a good centre, you know, a top 15 centre.
Yeah, he's definitely got the potential. The issue is potentially his work ethic, but Mo Harkless isn't exactly on a small contract either, is he?
No, I mean, it's Mo and Myers Leonard is on the bigger contract. Myers Leonard of Game 4 Western Conference Finals fame, where he dropped 30 Warriors.
Yeah, but he has developed an outside
shot. He's not a brilliant player.
Yeah, well, maybe the Heat are also looking at the fact that he can shoot from the outside. Whiteside is obviously an awful shooter. He's awful from the free throw line. I guess they're going in the direction the league is going in, but that's a really strange one. Does that now open enough cap space for the Heat to have enough for like a free agent?
No, they are well over cap space.
Wow. Well, yes, because they have like a lot of wing players. I think they got rid of who is it? Was it Josh Richardson recently? I can't remember.
Yeah,
what.
Richardson's now on the 76ers.
Yeah.
I guess obviously we're going through the subtle trade market. There's a lot of trades, so we can't stay too long on a single one. Yeah. And just talking of the Sixers, of course, they got rid of Butler, as we've talked about, and they brought in Josh Richardson and Al Horford. Now, I get it from the Celtics' point of view. The Celtics are obviously going a bit younger. But from Philly's point of view, where does Al Horford come in? Is he just a good backup to Embiid, or helps Embiid play less minutes, bit of load management during the season?
Yeah. They're looking at the regular season. I think that's a great pickup for the regular season. Al Horford playing 15 to 20 minutes a game. I believe that's what his role should have actually been on the Celtics, because historically, Al Horford has been a terrific defensive player, but this last season, he wasn't a liability on that end, but he is starting certainly to deteriorate on that end. And I would argue his offensive end is probably his strength now. Aaron Baines for the Celtics was their linchpin on defense last year. So, yes, for the regular season, it's great, but can you see Horford and Embiid, say, coexisting in, for example, the starting lineup, potentially with, say, Embiid playing as the power forward, as the more mobile player? I don't see that happening.
No, I think, as we've said, and as I suggested initially, Embiid, as we know, is very injury prone. He did suffer in the playoffs from illness, and part of it was he wasn't load managed like Kawhi was. So I think got a vet to take off some minutes, but still keep you winning games. There's no problem. So if you give some quick grades, actually, I've got the Ringer's grading of each trade that went through on free agency day. They gave it a C+.
That for the Sixers.
C+ for the Sixers, because it's a 4-year, $109 million deal. I'd say it's a C-, just because you're bringing in a very expensive bench player.
Sorry, did he say 4-year contract?
4-year, $109 million deal.
But he's already started to deteriorate. I think that's undeniable. Anyone who watched him last season, he's not the Al Horford of the Atlanta Hawks in 2012-2011 season. That's a shocking deal.
And because, imagine they could have spent some of that money on JJ Redick.
Yes, exactly.
Signed a 2-year, $27 million deal with New Orleans Pelicans.
And I'm sure JJ Redick, like, throughout most of his career, he hasn't exactly taken a pay hit. He's always been potentially one of the more overpaid players on every team he's been on. If JJ stayed on that team, then they are an absolutely legit contender for the championship next season. So I'm sure he would have been willing to take a bit of a pay cut as well. Maybe more around the like 7-8 million a season mark. So yeah, this is interesting, because I've seen other analysts say now Philly are potentially in the commanding position in the East, which I certainly would disagree with. I think I would put Milwaukee as favourites for next.
Well, I think we can discuss the actual makeup of the new teams now in the next part. But no, you're right in that Philly, I think they've certainly gone downhill from last season. They were a very scary team last season. I think, as we've mentioned, the Raptors against Philly series was one of the best, I think the best series in the 2019 playoffs as a whole. The talent on both sides, the defense on both sides, and, you know, it was won by what we are now calling the shot. We do not refer to MJ's shot as the shot. Refer to Kawhi as for the win, that kind of shot. just look at one or two more deals we'll look at before we take a break is Malcolm Brogdon signed a 4-year deal with the Indiana Pacers. Of course, Pacers got rid of Corey Joseph and actually Darren Collison, who we can discuss another time. He is now becoming a Jehovah's Witness, so he's off the team, as we know. And they picked up Malcolm Brogdon as a pair. So Brogdon and Oladipo, some people are calling this one of the most fun backcourts in Pacers history. I think it could be one of the most fun backcourts in the league this season.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd see it with all that has happened today. I did that somehow managed to fly under my radar. What's the reasoning for Milwaukee doing that? Is it simply that Brogdon, was he feeling undervalued in Milwaukee?
Well, yeah, I mean, and you got to remember, Milwaukee do have a kind of, they had 3 point guards last season. They had Bledsoe, Hill, and Brogdon. So I assume, you know, they're retaining the other two services, you know, I guess Bledsoe and Hill are two veterans. They're retaining their services and maybe getting rid of the slightly younger Brogdon. He was expensive, you know, his 4 years, $85 million. So Bucks obviously trying to get some salary cap maybe going into next year's or 2021's free agency.
Yeah, potentially.
But no, that's a good thing. I think, yeah, please go on.
Yeah, I guess that's the issue because George Hill, we maybe at this level he's playing at, George Hill's still a very solid player, but you give it probably 1 to 2 years before you say, yeah, you wouldn't, you're not going to win, even with him as a backup point guard. Simply because, yeah, he's going to lose any remaining athleticism that he has. But I don't see a team winning with Bledsoe as their starting point guard. I see a team winning with Brogdon, with seeing how he's developed, especially in the past 2 or 3 years. I see him as at least, like, a good starting caliber point guard. I think Bledsoe's too inefficient to play that role. And
very disappointing in the Eastern Conference Finals last season, of course. Brogdon was the man who was delivering. He was one of the only guys who was delivering except for Giannis.
Yeah.
And so, but I think with the Bucks, it just has to be the salary there.
Yeah, because they shouldn't be. I would say be patient with the Bucks. Like you're not in a desperate win now, absolutely next season scenario as other teams may be, such as the Lakers. So, yeah, you're right. It probably is the salary considerations is the biggest factor there.
Yeah, so I think we're going to have a look at a couple more trades. Ricky Rubio, is he going to make the Suns one of the spookiest teams next season? He's going to pair up with Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton in Phoenix. And I think, you know, firstly, playing in that kind of system, you've got an excellent shooter in Booker. You've got an excellent big man in Ayton. And Rubio is almost the perfect dimer, kind of Rondo-esque with a little bit more Spanish flair there. And, you know, what's the Suns' plan going forward? Of course, Rubio isn't getting any younger. The Suns, are they going to start making a push for it now?
Yeah, I essentially think the front office there is looking at the fact that DeAndre Ayton, one of the big complaints fans had last season was the fact that he wasn't getting enough touches. Because Ayton did have a very efficient season for a rookie, especially as a rookie center. Wasn't placed in the most, you know, stable situation. And he put up very, very solid numbers. And his usage rate, I think, was fourth on that team, which is a joke. He really should be second to Booker. And I think they're probably looking at Ricky Rubio as a piece in the next 2 to 3 years to potentially improve like the basketball IQ of D. Booker, while also looking to, you know, Rubio as a point guard. I think he will bring the best out of Ayton. He'll be the best player to see, you know, Ayton develop into what, like, fans, commentators, analysts think he can become. So,
exactly. Well, that's a whirlwind look just through some of the 49 deals that I've gone through today and yesterday. After the break, we're going to look at teams who can compete this year, who has been most affected positively and negatively by free agency. And otherwise, we're just going to take a look at the dumpster fire that is the New York Knicks. See you after the break. Welcome back from the break. We're now going to actually go into the teams. What does this day of free agency mean for the rest of the season? And I see no better teams to start with than... No, we're not going to do the Nets. We're actually going to stick to the West for once. We're going to have a look at the Warriors. So, for context, the Warriors shipped off Kevin Durant and Andre Iguodala. However, they surprisingly signed D'Angelo Russell on a four-year, $117 million deal. Viral, are the Warriors better off than last season?
Absolutely not. It depends on what we're talking about here. Are we talking about an injury-free Warriors last season? Because absolutely not. They are not better off. But considering the fact that KD was going to be absent for the early, well, for pretty much the majority of the season, and as is Clay, this trade with D'Angelo Russell, I'm at first anyway, I was again very intrigued, but some reports that I have seen have suggested that it's potentially a sign and trade and they're going to look to ship off D'Angelo either in this window or potentially in the mid-season, next off-season. So, otherwise, I think you would agree here. I'm not sure how the team chemistry would work when Clay comes back.
Well, they're going to go a little bit smaller, right? They're going to definitely have D'Angelo on the floor at all times. So it's going to be Curry, D'Angelo. Clay's going to go at small forward. You're going to have Draymond. And depending on whether Boogie re-signs or not, you'll have Boogie. If not, you'll have a new and improved Kevon Looney. In my opinion, that's a much more fluid and a much more fun team than a team with Kevin Durant. Of course, before the NBA Finals, the Warriors were 31-1 without Kevin Durant. And even during the Finals, they looked a much more fluid team. So I think if you look on the surface of it, you're essentially Andre Iguodala, who is a cracking player off the bench and was through to his end at the Warriors.
Yeah.
For D'Angelo Russell, who is brilliant in his own right.
He is, but in terms of how that team's going to be on the floor, it's the exact same issue the Houston Rockets had. You can live in your fantasy land and say, oh, you can have James Harden running the point, Chris Paul shooting guard, Eric Gordon at the three. Frankly, that didn't work for that team. They never had those three on the floor at the same time. And it will be the same case for the Warriors. And this is where the biggest issue lies. I can see Clay playing the three. He is that good a defender. He switches on shooting forwards all the time anyway. He's not going to have too much difficulty defending a shooting forward, except if he's defending somebody like KD or, say, if he's defending a Pascal Siakam who's got like 4 or 5 inches on him. But I think the biggest problem there is actually having Steph at the two. Defensively, he's going to get, pardon my Vietnamese here, he's going to get shat on. D'Angelo himself isn't the best defender. So if you have those three on the floor, I would love to see D'Angelo as the point guard because that's his biggest strength. He's an absolutely fantastic playmaker. Steph is also a very good playmaker, but potentially his strength could offensively could be as a shooting guard as he so frequently cuts anyway. But I don't know. I just don't see any cohesiveness there as a defensive unit.
That's fair. And that's very valid comments about the Warriors itself. And so we'll go from the Celtics, who for a time looked to be turning into somewhat of an eighth seed, some maybe a swap with the Nets, perhaps revenge for that trade all those years ago. Mm-hmm. But the Celtics, they ended up getting rid of Kyrie and Al Horford, of course, as well as players like Marcus Morris, Aaron Baines. But they brought in, and as of now, live trade again, they've just brought in Enes Kanter as well on a 2-year deal.
How much?
Kanter, if we go to, I'm just giving my source a ring right now. He's on a 2-year, $10 million deal contract, according to my source on the ground. Wow. Significant upgrade from his vet min contract in Portland. Yeah. That's a cracking deal for the Celtics.
Cracking for both sides. What do you think about with Kemba running the point? And of course them also losing Terry Rozier as the backup point guard. Where would he place the Celtics? Like where do you see them?
I think they are where they are right now. There are some who say that players like Tatum had their kind of second season syndrome last year and will continue to improve this season and build on his rookie year. But I think they're going to be exactly where they are, challenge for that fourth or fifth seed, maybe get to the conference finals, but most likely a first or second round exit, and essentially stay the same. I think they'll be a bit more fun this year. I mean, they were pretty horrible to watch to most people last year, but I think their lineups, just that's a little bit more fluid. And of course, Kemba's just a lovely player to watch.
Yeah, and he is selfless, which I think is what that team needs. But they got rid of their two bigs. Have they brought anyone in? Because Aaron Baines, I would have loved to see Aaron Baines stay there, actually. I think he's a solid starting center, obviously playing in Al Horford's shadow for the majority of his career at the Celtics. But I think that's going to be an issue, the five for them, unless they've brought somebody in.
No, it's just Kemba and Kanter right now. So they are going to be struggling for bigs.
So potentially for Kanter at the five.
Daniel Theis they brought back. Three-time All-Star, of course.
But potentially they're going to start Kanter there, which, it's interesting.
Portland got to the conference finals with Kanter.
Yeah. Okay. He was so poor defensively again, but of course he is. Celtics have historically been a good defensive team, so potentially having some, offensive firepower, like his defensive liabilities may be covered by the rest of the team, so.
It's true. Quite an interesting team as well in the East. Of course, this is a team, one of the only teams actually, to beat the Raptors in the playoffs at the Scotiabank Arena this season was the Orlando Magic. Yeah. They managed to do it in the opening game of the playoffs. They've retained Nikola Vucevic after many people thought, of course, they'd trade him away last season. They've also brought in Al-Farouq Aminu from the Blazers on a nice small contract. Mm. And they've kept Terrence Ross, who was one of the contenders for sixth man of the year. So Orlando are going to be quite interesting because, of course, they managed to squeeze in the eighth seed last time, maybe with Miami getting Butler and the Nets becoming, one of the teams to beat in the East. They might not be so lucky this time, but I got to say, the Magic looking very good next year.
Yeah, they've just retained players, really, haven't they? Like you said, Aminu on that deal. I don't have anything to add. I think you're spot on. They're probably going to be contending for the lower places in those playoffs next year.
Right. So before we get to the dumpster fire, I'm going to talk about maybe a couple of one team slept on, and the Bulls haven't really managed their front office. The front office haven't done a great job in recent years, but I think they've done a pretty solid job this round time. They drafted Coby White, of course, who, as we said back in March, was one of the most exciting players in the March Madness in the NCAA. And they've also picked up Thomas Satoransky from the Wizards and Thaddeus Young. And so last season, of course, you have Lauri Markkanen coming back from injury. You have quite a fun, a solid team. not one good enough to compete or even challenge for the playoff. But this season, it's something different. I think you've got a couple few young, few more youngsters coming in, and I think the Bulls could take the step, you know, the step towards stopping tanking and starting to make their way slowly back to the eighth seed where, you know, a lot of their fan base feel they belong in the Eastern playoffs.
Well, they lost Bobby Portis, didn't they? Who was one of their more... I completely disagree with you. I think they have made good moves, but I just... I don't see them getting close to the playoffs again. Like, again, there's Laurie. Who else is really helping there?
Well, maybe not this season, but, I mean, you've got Kobe White as your point guard. You've got Thomas Satoransky, who filled in brilliantly for John Wall when he was out of the Wizards. Yeah, you know, you've got... You have got players now like Thaddeus Young, who is a very underrated player, especially on defense. And, you know, you've got a decent young squad there. I'm not saying they're going to make playoffs this year, but I'm saying instead of hovering around that 15th place with 19 wins or so, they're going to, you know, pick up 30 plus maybe this season and start being a team that Chicago wants again.
Yeah, potentially. Yeah, I just... Playoffs, I think, just is a bit of a stretch, but I do agree with you. They're looking good for the future.
Yeah. So, do you wanna praise more teams, or do you wanna go to teams who just really suck and really don't deserve to be mentioned, except in a negative?
Quickly, I think I must mention. I think this team has seen that, frankly, the landscape next season is wide open, and they pounce. And we did. We have talked about this previously with the Mike Conley trade to the Utah Jazz, but the Jazz have made some serious moves.
Yeah, let's go through them now. I mean, of course, they got rid of the likes of Ricky, but they signed Bojan Bogdanovic.
Which is huge, absolutely huge.
It's a nice trade. It's a nice trade because it's a 4-year, $73 million deal. It's not that expensive. But they got a great wing. He's a great shooter. And, you know, someone to pair up with Jingles, as it were. Yeah. And maybe improve on that first round exit.
Yeah, I don't want to be too optimistic, but I would not at all be surprised if they made the conference finals. Like, that squad looks absolutely geared. As long as Donovan Mitchell, you know... Again, he potentially had a slight slump last year, like Jason Tatum, but that team is pretty much ready in every position now.
I mean, do you know that lineup right now is looking like Mike Conley, Donovan Mitchell, Joe Ingles, Bojan Bogdanovic, and Rudy Gobert. And that's not even counting the depth that they have.
Yeah, then they've always they've been deep for the past 3 or 4 years. So, yeah, they play the correct basketball. Quinn Snyder is a fantastic coach. That team is going to be a nightmare defensively, an absolute nightmare. I think potentially the only player you could say is going to let them down defensively is Donovan Mitchell. But, yeah, that they're going to be a force to be reckoned with.
Of course, they've actually just picked up Ed Davis, who's a very useful block man, as it were. So that's another nice piece to add to their depth.
For sure. We could move on to the dumpster fire section then.
Oh, you do? You don't want to talk? Oh, well, I think we can actually... I was about to talk about Philly, but I suppose to some, they're in that section. Especially because of one particular trade, Tobias Harris. 5-year, $180 million. I'll let you talk this one through.
Whoever his agent is, that man is a miracle worker. I think the only reason they retained him is they didn't want to spoil the fledgling bromance between the big Serbian one. I can't remember his name. I think it's Bojan.
Boban.
Tobias Harris showed himself in the playoffs last season. He is potentially a good third or fourth scoring option, but giving him that contract... an overpaid max contract. We've seen in previous seasons, overpaying max contracts to players who don't deserve it is probably one of the worst moves you can make. And Chris Paul is just an example. You have Chandler Parsons with the Mavericks. He is 26. He's still young. And if he's not injured in these 5 years, I would still argue that contract is not worth it, even if he doesn't get injured. Obviously, that's a very real possibility that he does miss some games because he's going to have the heavy load trying to carry the scoring load of that team. So I'm flabbergasted, frankly.
I mean, and when you talk about playoff performances, he did not deliver in this playoffs. Exactly. He was not good against Toronto. If we look at the stats, he played 12 games. He averaged 37 minutes a night. He only dropped 15. He only actually made 1.5 threes a game. And for a 3 and D player...
What was he playing for before you went there? It's a three-point marksman.
Exactly. And you're just not making enough threes in the playoffs. And, you know, some say he actually lost Philly that series against Toronto. So that's a weird trade as well, especially when you're piling money to the likes of Al Horford, for example.
What do you think about Josh Richardson, Kamel?
What about him?
Well, I think this is why analysts have been so excited, because I think they're overrating the potential of Al Horford. They haven't dissected really the lack of value in that contract they've given to Tobias Harris. But what they have said is, well, Josh Richardson, he's had a very similar career trajectory to Jimmy Butler. He steadily improved year on year. Last season, he had mediocre in terms of efficiency, in terms of scoring, but he really saw a step up in both his role in the Miami team, but also he was a 16 points per game scorer last year. He's very good on the defensive end. So people have made those parallels with Jimmy Butler, just showing that, you know, their work ethic and how quickly they progressed from their rookie season. But this is the disrespect people show Jimmy Butler. He is not going to replace Jimmy Butler on that team. I think the media is saying, oh, wow, this young talent, this Philly team is now young. For the next 4 or 5 seasons, they can contend, which is true, but he is not going to immediately, and I would argue ever, fill Jimmy Butler's shoes. And it's just a new level of disrespect to even compare those two players.
I agree. I mean, I think as we said before, Butler was one of the standout players this playoffs. He pretty much dragged Philly all the way to 7 games against the Raptors. He even almost won it for them with that last second layup as well. And essentially, Josh Richardson, whatever you say about him, he's not young. He's 26. I mean, okay, he's going into his prime years now as a wing. But he will be nowhere near the production, the hustle, the defense, and overall talent. And if you want to compete, I think you've gone from a big four now to a big three.
Exactly.
Which isn't ideal, obviously.
Yeah. Do you ever see him having the ceiling? Like ever reaching the same Butler's level of play?
Oh no, for sure. Yeah, he's got, I mean, a high floor, low ceiling kind of player, Josh Richardson.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's not get embarrassed on this. when he inevitably.
Well, we're known for our bold predictions. So I think we should stick with that. I said Trae Young could be out of the league in 3 or 4 years, and that hasn't aged like a fine wine. So
no, he's been brilliant. I mean, we'll do a special episode before the new season starts about our predictions last season and, of course, going into next season as well. The other big dumpster fire, actually, that's the most obvious one, is the Knicks. So the Knicks turned down the chance to max Kristaps Porzingis, and instead they spent the money on 3 other power forwards. So that was a bit of an odd one. I mean, okay, Julius Randle, that's right. But then they signed Bobby Portis as well. And they also sign Taj Gibson.
And then they say they signed somebody else, right? Aside from
I don't know what's going on here.
The 3 power forwards aside, they also gave a very terrible contract out as well. I think it was roughly like 4 $10 million a year contracts that they handed out, like candy, in the space of like a couple of hours. Oh, and they signed Elfrid Payton as well.
Yep, and that's just come through. They just signed Elfrid Payton. I mean,
on a 2-year, $16 million deal. Oh.
What are the Knicks doing? I mean, I don't know who's run worse, the Hornets or the Knicks. We'll discuss the Hornets in a bit, but for now, what are the Knicks doing? What's going through his mindset? What's going through the GM's mindset right now?
Obviously, it's an NBA team. Say if you have $60 million in cap space, if you don't land those major assets, you could potentially say that, oh, it's a bit of a waste if we don't sign anyone, if we don't reach our cap limit. Because if we sign somebody for like a two-year deal, and in that first year, if they overperform and, say, exceed expectations, then you also, with that player, you have a bit of trade value. So having that $60 million in cap space, say, to roll through to next summer, potentially the GM's looking at that and saying, well, it's a bit of a waste of cap space, considering also that the 2020 free agent class isn't exactly, it's nothing to write home about. You've got Anthony Davis and Draymond, and I think most people would agree that they are very likely to stay in their current homes. So really, I think the big player there is Gordon Hayward. So I understand these two-year salaries they're giving. People are saying, why wasn't it a one-year salary? Well, they could have given a one-year salary, but if one of those players like Bobby Portis, who does have potential, if he does perform well, then you've got potentially a little bit of trade value with him. Maybe get like a second round or a first round pick with him next year. But after all the build-up, I think I can't say anything that Stephen A. Smith hasn't said with all the build-up and all the hype and all their third round, their third position draft pick, hoping to get Zion. How much hope New York Knicks fans had this summer, I think this is a massive, massive letdown.
And I feel sorry for any New York fans who then have to suffer with their Brooklyn neighbours just succeeding brilliantly with fantastic management and coaching, of course, to make that team into a real gelled, well-oiled machine there. It's very, very sad times for New York fans, and you know they've suffered long enough. But some would say they should. This will give them a bit less reason to be so entitled going forward, which is always nice. New York fans, of course, aren't generally the most humble, the most graceful of fans. But before I start slandering them more,
one could make that argument. Yeah.
But I guess we can move to the last class. It's the class run of MJ, and it's the Charlotte. Any team that picks up Terry Rozier for 3 years, $58 million, isn't a team that's has a long-term vision for the future, unless they see something we just can't in Terry Rozier.
I'd actually like you to elaborate on this. I want to know what your opinion on this.
Right, well, Terry Rozier, of course. Okay, he's better as a starter than he's off the bench. He didn't perform too well off the bench in the Celtics last year. And, of course, in the year before, he got the nickname Scary Terry on the way to taking LeBron to seven games in the conference finals. So you got an okay player there. He's not too young. He's 24 right now. But he's not a player. If you get rid of your franchise player, why are you getting someone like Terry Rozier? You'd be more valuable investing in a younger, a more versatile point guard who is not scared to make mistakes, who can actually guide you and be the tank commander that you need, right? Because Hornets are no way near looking playoffs this season. I think they're going to finish in the bottom three. And so why splash out all your money on a player who is not really going to be your long-term franchise man? Exactly. You'll be looking to trade. No one's going to take on that contract. He's going to be a Hornet for three more years unless they buy him out. So I just think it's poor, really. I mean, they just got rid of players like Jeremy Lamb, and it's hard to believe that someone got it worse than the Knicks, but the Hornets managed to do it.
Yeah, and they've still got their logjam at the power forward center spot in terms of just really, really average players in those positions and overpaid also.
Hey, don't dismiss Frank the Tank, right?
Yeah, yes.
The other players are Lord and Father Biombo. I mean, they've got a couple of likable guys there.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure as a Christian missionary, they'd all do very well. But look, as a 24-year-old point guard, what kind of player do you want in terms of somebody who's going to potentially develop? Terry Rozier has never been an elite-level playmaker, nor has he, and he will never be an elite shooter. So where is the ceiling in a player like that? Sure, he could become an even better slasher, and he is... I don't want to disrespect him too much. He is a fairly good floor general, but he's not like a visionary level of passing. He doesn't display that on a regular basis. He's a very good defender, but
massive amount of money.
It seems, Kamel, I'm just looking at this offseason, because of the talent in the max contract range, it seems like there's a lot of players getting valued in the $15 to $20 million dollar range who should really realistically never be valued as such.
I mean, yeah, that's fair. I mean, as you say, this free agency class was always, I mean, we didn't expect it to be so volatile, but it was always going to be a lot of money thrown around, and a lot of teams who didn't get, you know, those max players, they're left with a lot of cap space. And as you said, a lot of cap space means they need to spend the money somewhere, and players have all the bargaining power.
Exactly. But
I mean, even this is a bit of a desperate reach. I mean, they could have gone for someone like Rubio. I mean, because this is such a middling trade. I mean, it's not a young star and it's not a veteran point guard who's going to, you know, help the young players. In fact, I got some worse news for the Charlotte. He's not even 24, he's 25, so he's a year older than we even thought. He'll be 26 by next playoffs. And
considering last year that he didn't get much playing time, he certainly will be also rusty at the beginning of the season as well.
Yeah, so it's just hard to know what's in the Charlotte's mindset at this point, and MJ's mindset. Maybe he's too distracted. Maybe he's looking at Space Jam 2 and worrying if it'll pass the franchise. I mean, and he's making these moves to kind of distract and draw the audience away. I have no idea what's going on.
I feel like surely he would have some sort of royalties in this Space Jam franchise. So he wouldn't be worried about outgrossing his original Space Jam, but potentially that, you know, he's too busy marketing it.
Yeah. Well, so, Charlotte are my big losers of this free agency day. Do you agree? Who are your big losers?
Yeah, I'd say I would controversially say Philadelphia.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, when they go on and reach the NBA Finals next year, we'll have this on tape recorded for all to see. Mm-hmm. I'm just saving that little clip right there. Who are your winners of this trade deadline? I think, you go first on this.
Please, you go first. I can't, I'm not sure. I'm really not sure.
The big winners... It is a tough one because people have made some great trades. It's easy to say the Nets, but of course, I guess a lot of people thought that when they made trades for, you know, the likes of Paul Pierce and that. But it's, you know, it is sacrificing the future a little bit. I think you've got to say it might actually be the Pacers.
The Pacers.
Because they've picked up two very nice pieces in Jeremy Lamb and Malcolm Brogdon. They've got Oladipo coming back, and they've maintained their big men. They've maintained Sabonis, Miles Turner and stuff. And with teams like the Celtics and Philly maybe dropping off a little bit, they've got a chance to maybe climb permanently into the upper echelon, the top four of the East. And I think they've made very, very sensible moves. It's unfortunate, you know, with Darren Collison and the likes of those kind of trades, that they've had to kind of get rid of some of their more veteran players. But they've got a great young core. They've got talent all around the field and in depth. And that's why my big winners are the Pacers.
And I would absolutely agree with that if they hadn't lost Bojan Bogdanovic. But potentially, if they hadn't lost Bojan, they wouldn't have had the cap space for Brogdon. So... with that in mind, I have spoken about this earlier, but I would probably say the Utah Jazz are the big winners.
That's fair. More than fair. And so just to end, are there any weird trades? Are there any trades you think would be the most slept on if you just give one or two of them?
We didn't really discuss the future implications of this, and perhaps we may in the future, but just on a very side note, in terms of Kyrie and KD playing together, that duo will never ever win a championship. And I think there's a multitude of reasons, but potentially the biggest one is the fact that they're, when you have two overly sensitive, ego-driven players like that, because although they may be humble in terms of like their personal lives, they are both extremely emotional and they both want to be the absolute face of whichever franchise they're a part of. But this is why Kyrie left LeBron in the first place, because he didn't like being in his shadow. And although a shadow is incapable of being produced if the earth is flat, that aside, while KD's going to be injured, Kyrie's going to be receiving all the love. When KD comes back, he's then going to have to clash with Kyrie, and I frankly think neither of them have the maturity to put their egos aside and just, you know, play all out. And that's what we saw with Kyrie last season. We've seen it with KD throughout his career. So as much as people are lauding that trade, I think they will never see success purely due to their personalities.
Now, that is a controversial topic. I personally think they won't see success, because as soon as KD walks in the door, Kyrie's going to ask him, "Hey, what does the word government mean to you?" And KD's just going to walk out. He's just like, "Why did I do this?" Well, the good news is, I guess,
straight to that burner account.
Yeah. Okay. He's going to make anti-Kyrie memes all day. He's going to send him pictures of the globe, which would be quite a big troll, as it were. My personal slept-on trade was Derrick Rose to the Pistons, and of course the Pistons are kind of hanging around the 8th seed. We talked about this last season. The main reason they didn't succeed or get further is they got two great big men, of course, in Blake Griffin and Andre Drummond, but they didn't have a point guard. I didn't rate Reggie Jackson at all, and I still don't. Instead, they got rid of Ish Smith, and they got veteran guard Derrick Rose, who was very good last season. And I think it was interesting. I mean, the only thing is in this is strategy. The Pistons seem to forever remain in this purgatory of 8th or 9th seed, and it's kind of frustrating for Detroit fans.
Yeah.
Do they tank? Do they go all out? Do they waste Blake's best years? I guess not. But I think Derrick Rose will be quite fun to watch on the Pistons, especially with those two towers hanging around.
Yeah, I can't disagree.
Brilliant. Well, thanks for appearing on this podcast. We're going to make a new one, as we said at the start of the episode, actually after Kawhi makes his decision. That actually should be by Wednesday. It's Monday right now.
Yes, yeah.
So whatever happens, it's going to be an episode. It's either going to be a celebration or, in fact, it's going to be a celebration either way, because what Kawhi's given the Raptors, no one else did in 25 years. Raul, thanks for coming on the podcast. It's been
a
while. Thank
you very much. And that was very poetically said, I must say.
No worries at all. You know me.
All right.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.